Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. The House Judiciary Committee meets tonight to start drawing up articles of impeachment. NPR's Claudia Grisales reports lawmakers plan to hold public hearings over 2 days to approve charges against President Trump.
Democrats are expected to approve impeachment articles of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. The House Judiciary Committee will meet at 7 p.m. to allow all of its 41 members to make remarks. The panel is slated to meet again Thursday morning to complete its debate and approve the articles. It would set up a potentially historic vote on the House floor to impeach the president next week. Lawmakers said they wanted the articles to focus on their findings that the president abused his office by seeking foreign interference for the 2020 election. Claudia Grisales, NPR News, Washington.
At least 6 Afghans were injured in a bomb attack on the U.S. airbase Bagram in Afghanistan. That attack destroyed a medical facility being built for Afghans. Jennifer Glass has more from Kabul.
There were no U.S. or coalition casualties in the early morning attack near the Bagram airbase north of Kabul. The local governor says there were 2 car bombs followed by gunfire. U.S. military officials say the target was a medical facility being built for the Afghan people outside the base. The attack comes as Taliban officials are meeting with the U.S. in Doha about an agreement on the partial withdrawal of U.S. forces.
Jennifer Glass reporting. In Jersey City, 6 people are dead, including the gunman, following a shootout that ended in a gun battle outside a kosher grocery store. As NPR's Hansi Lo Wang reports, police are still investigating what prompted the initial shooting.
Hundreds of gunshots rang for hours through the streets of a business district in South Jersey City. Ezra police were caught in a shootout from inside J.C. Kosher supermarket. Blocks away, other officers responded to a shooting in a cemetery. One of them, Jersey City Police Detective Joseph Seals, was fatally shot there. Eventually, law enforcement entered the supermarket, where they found the bodies of 2 suspected gunmen and 3 other people. Jersey City Police Chief Michael Kelly says they're now investigating a 3rd crime scene.
We have 1 stolen U-Haul vehicle that may contain an incendiary device that has since been taken from the location.
Kelly says a bomb squad is examining the device. Hansi Lo Wang, NPR News, Jersey City.
Saudi Arabia state-owned Aramco Oil Company started trading on the Saudi Stock Exchange today for the first time after its massive $25.6 billion initial public offering that made it the biggest IPO in history. The stock gained 10% at the open, the daily regulatory cap, hitting the U.S. equivalent of $9.39. At that price, the company is valued at $1.88 trillion, more than the top 5 oil companies, including Exxon, Chevron, and BP, combined. Rural financial markets, Asian markets ended the day in mixed territory. The Nikkei down a fraction, the Hang Seng up 0.8%. You're listening to NPR News.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning. I'm Bob Oakes in Boston. It's a snowy start to the morning, and by lunchtime, we could have 3 inches of snow on the ground. It's a little messy on the highways and slow this morning, but transportation officials say 1,300 crews are out on the highways treating the roads, and they advise giving yourself some extra time for the commute. There are a number of school closings and delays this morning. We have the list at WBUR.org, and for the forecast, stay with us. That's coming up in just a minute. Pete Buttigieg and Joe Biden are leading the crowded Democratic presidential primary race in New Hampshire. A new WBUR poll out this morning shows that with the New Hampshire primary just 9 weeks away now, Buttigieg is running slightly ahead of Biden, followed by Bernie Sanders. Elizabeth Warren is in 4th place. WBUR's Anthony Brooks has details.
This is the latest poll suggesting that Buttigieg has real momentum in Iowa and New Hampshire. According to the WBUR poll of likely Democratic primary voters, 18% say the 37-year-old mayor of South Bend is their top choice. Biden is just 1 point behind him, followed by Sanders with 15% and Warren with 12%. Mass Inc. pollster Steve Cozzella conducted the WBUR poll and says this race remains close and unsettled.
I mean, we've got 3 candidates all within 3 points of each other, and Elizabeth Warren not even that far behind, right there in that top tier. Basically, a race that could go in any direction.
Particularly since many voters have yet to make up their mind, and New Hampshire has a history of last-minute surprises. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Anthony Brooks.
On the Republican side, 74% of likely New Hampshire voters plan to vote for President Trump in the primary. Former Governor Bill Weld is in second place, but way back at 9%. For a closer look at all the numbers in the WBUR poll, visit our website, WBUR.org. Boston City Councilor Kim Janney says she has enough support to become the next city council president. She'd be the third consecutive woman of color to serve as council president, following councilors Andrea Campbell and Michelle Wu. Janney was elected in 2017. Unless state lawmakers come to agreement by this afternoon, more than $1 billion in state surplus money could end up being deposited into the state rainy day fund instead of being spent. Lawmakers working on a so-called closeout budget for the fiscal year that ended in June have been unable to reach a compromise. The state comptroller has given them a 3 p.m. deadline today to reach a deal. Sports: Bruins try to snap a three-game losing streak tonight when they visit the Washington Caps. Celtics also on the road tonight. They play the Pacers in Indianapolis. Forecast: according to 3 to 4 inches of snow this morning from this storm that's quickly moving through, the greater snowfall will come south of Boston or south of the Mass Pike. We should have some sun by late this afternoon. It'll be in the 30s today. Chilly tonight, lows around 20. Sunny and 30 tomorrow. Maybe some showers coming late Friday, right around 40 on Friday. Mild Saturday, it'll be rainy, but in the 50s. Then Sunday, it'll be sunny and in the 40s. In Boston now, 30 degrees, 25 degrees in Worcester, 30 degrees in Salem, and 33 degrees in New Bedford at 7:07.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Greater Boston Food Bank. Give the gift of a holiday meal. Just $20 provides 5 healthy meals. Give at gbfb.org/holidays. Curriculum Associates, the EdTech innovators behind iReady, designed to empower teachers and drive gains for 8 million students nationwide. CurriculumAssociates.com. And T. Rowe Price, offering a strategic investing approach that examines investment opportunities firsthand. Institutions, advisors, employers, and individuals choose T. Rowe Price. T. Rowe Price, invest with confidence.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Bob Oakes here with Jay Clayton. Good morning, Jay.
Morning, Bob.
And a very good morning to our interim general manager, Sam Fleming. Hi, Sam.
Good morning, Bob.
A couple of pieces of fundraising news. First, we want to tell you that we've decided that we're ending this fundraiser on Friday. Between now and Friday, though, we need to raise $500,000 so that we can have the money it takes to keep bringing you the news in the way that we have been for years and years. Thorough, thoughtful, independent. If you want to help us out in this effort, then give us a call right now while there's still time to do it. The number to call is 1-800-909-9287 or give at WBUR.org. And Sam, we were talking a few minutes ago offline about how the fundraiser has been interrupted many times because during this short year-end fundraiser, because it's important to bring people live coverage.
It's the obviously the highest priority for us is to be there when news happens. There's going to be a special broadcast tonight at 7 p.m. of the Judiciary Committee discussing the impeachment proceedings. That will then continue tomorrow morning at 9. This has happened on and off for the past week. It's just one of the things we have to live with. News doesn't stop for a fundraiser or any other thing. This is a station that you count on. We have to take advantage of our opportunities when we can communicate with you for a few minutes at a time. We only have a couple of more days, no matter what happens in the news, but we need to get the resources in to make sure we can keep bringing you the news well into the new year. So just give us a call, do your part, or go online. Whatever it is that you can afford, know that you're one of the contributing listeners to WBUR.
The way that you contribute is just give us a call. Here's the phone number, 800-909-9287. 800-909-9287. You can also give at WBUR.org, and you can check out the new WBUR Knit Winter Cap, perfect for days like today. We will give you one of these as our thanks for any contribution that you make of $5 or more. And that's only to get the hat to you. It's why it needs to be $5 or more. But any amount beyond that that you care to give. Normally, we offer this for a $10 a month contribution as our thanks, but any amount before 8 o'clock. That is just 50 minutes from now. So jump in on that opportunity while you can. Do what you can to support your station. And remember that about half of the funding for Morning Edition and everything else on WBUR that you listen to is listener support. And that's why your contribution is so vital this morning. 800-909-9287 is the number, and the website WBUR.org.
You know, think about how the news has been unprecedented and kind of unpredictable. You know, the impeachment process, especially the way it's being pursued this time around, is pretty much unprecedented. What's unpredictable sometimes is the way that President Trump is going to react to it. He was in Pennsylvania last night, belittling the House Democrats in this effort as he rallied his troops around him, so to speak. You know that we're covering it all for you. The story as it unfolds on Capitol Hill, President Trump reacting to it, however that's going to come. You know you're going to want us to be there in 2020. And what we're trying to get to you right now, the message we're trying to deliver, is that we need you behind this effort. We need you to give a little bit of your time and your money to keep WBUR strong and healthy and vibrant and independent. We need the gift of your pledge. It's as simple as that. And it's pretty simple to make a gift to WBUR. It only takes 2 minutes at WBUR.org or 2 minutes to dial the number and give any amount at 1-800-909-9287.
And the bottom line is when you give money to WBUR into the resources that you count on, it means that you're putting money into a journalism organ that you trust. And this is a time in journalism where there are a lot of journalism institutions, especially I'd say on cable news, where it's coming from the left or the right. And the whole issue around journalism is one that's really up for grabs right now. I think public radio, public media is a journalism organ that you can trust. It's one of the reasons that you invest in your public radio stations like WBUR.
12 minutes past 8. We're going to continue with Morning Edition in a second. Just give us a call to support it, because it takes money from you every once in a while to keep bringing you Morning Edition and the other programs that you listen to. Make any contribution before 8 o'clock this morning, just 48 minutes to go, and we'll give you a WBUR knit winter hat as our thanks for your support at any level before 8 o'clock. The number to call is 800-909-9287, and you can also get in on this when you give at WBUR.org.
That's right. We've talked about all the serious stuff. Now, as we go back to the news, let's talk about the hat for just a second. The hat is really cool. It's kind of retro. You can get it for a gift of any amount. We gave we had this offer on the table on Saturday, and a lot of WBUR listeners decided that at the end of the year, when they're gifting a lot of stuff, they wanted the hat. You take away a hat right now. Support the news. WBUR Interim General Manager Sam Fleming is wearing the hat right now. He looks like he belongs out on the ski slope instead of in a radio studio, which is actually, I know where he'd rather be on the ski slope. But it's coming, Sam. First, we need to finish this fundraiser. We have $500,000 to raise between now and Friday. How much of that can you do? Put it into a hat. Put it into the WBUR hat. Give any amount right now. We'll send you the hat as we go back to the news. The number is 1-800-909-9287 or give at WBUR.org.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Noelle King. Good morning. This country's top Democrat and its top Republican are each claiming a win on an important trade agreement.
There is no question, of course, that this trade agreement is much better than NAFTA. But in terms of our work here, it is infinitely better than what was initially proposed by the administration.
But honestly, it's an incredible deal for our country. It took too long. It waited in Congress for too long a time. Incredible deal.
That was House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and President Donald Trump talking at separate events about the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, or USMCA. They've announced that they've reached an agreement to move that trade deal forward. It will replace NAFTA, which has been in place for 25 years. So what is the deal, and is it a done deal? Let's ask Peter Navarro. He directs trade policy for the Trump administration, and he had a key role in shaping the USMCA. Good morning, sir.
Noel, how are you today?
Very well, thanks. So Speaker Pelosi and President Trump seeing eye to eye on something. What is in this deal that has made the two of them agree?
The key part of the deal that I think is great for America is a provision that will bring back auto manufacturing to the United States. It's called domestic content rules. 75% of the auto has to be made in the USMCA zone, and then to ensure that American workers get their fair share, there's a really strong provisions on the environment and labor so that we don't have jobs migrating south in that giant sucking sound of Mexico.
Hmm. For cars to qualify for tax breaks, they'll need to build more of the vehicle in North America, where workers make more money than they do in other places, like Asia, for example. That has led to some concerns among economists that cars will become more expensive. If you're paying people $16 an hour to make a car rather than $8 an hour, the cost will be passed on to consumers. What do you say to that?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, what this is going to do is spark a tremendous amount of new investment from car companies around the world on U.S. soil. And what that investment does, it gives a state-of-the-art production, higher productivity. A higher productive American worker can get paid more without raising the cost of the vehicle. So one really shouldn't worry about that. The other thing is, if you go back to the days of Henry Ford, he paid a good wage back in those days because he wanted his workers to be able to buy their own cars. So the Trump administration loves when wages go up, which has been happening in his economic boom. We love that, and we don't worry about this other issue you raised.
Okay. No worries then that the cost of cars might be prohibitive for consumers.
None whatsoever. I heard that yesterday on your show, and I thought that the Cato Institute guy, these guys never love anything other than to ship our jobs offshore.
All right. Fair enough. I take your point. Let me ask you, some Republicans are worried that the administration gave too much to Democrats. Senator John Cornyn of Texas said anything that gets the AFL-CIO endorsement could be problematic. And Senator John Thune, the Republican whip, said if they got the unions, my assumption is there are going to be a lot of things that were changed from the last time we've seen anything on this. Can you explain briefly why they are worried? What are they worried about?
They shouldn't be worried, and they won't be worried when they see the deal. This is a great deal for America. It's basically a state-of-the-art template. It has good domestic content rules, but it also updates the digital trade so that we have strong copyright protections for that. There's some really innovative things on currency manipulation and state-owned enterprises, which are designed to defend American markets in this hemisphere from China. So I'm sure this will go quickly and well. This has been held up for a year by Speaker Pelosi, and that's a shame because we've lost billions of dollars and thousands of jobs.
Well, just briefly, I do want to ask you about another holdup. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the Senate won't vote on this until next year, presumably because of impeachment. Republicans, you're certain, are behind this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. This will pass overwhelmingly in both the House and the Senate, and it's literally been sitting on Speaker Pelosi's desk for a year while they made what are essentially small changes around the edges in constructive consultations. But it should not have taken this long. This goes back to 2016 June. President Trump, when he was candidate, promised to renegotiate NAFTA. We signed the deal in 2018 November in Buenos Aires. I was there. All of the presidents of Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. signed it. And we've just been in holding mode.
Well, I imagine to that end, you've got some reason to celebrate. White House Trade Advisor Peter Navarro, thanks
so
much. Also with us is NPR's Chief Economics Correspondent Scott Horsley. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Noel.
So, Mr. Navarro, a couple quibbles about how long this took, but overall sounds really optimistic. What did you hear there?
Well, I do think this deal is going to win bipartisan support now that the AFL-CIO has given its backing. That's a green light for a lot of House Democrats to go on board. They did win important concessions, changing the deal that was initially negotiated by the Trump administration. Robert Lighthizer, the U.S. Trade Representative, worked very hard with Democrats throughout this process. He said he wanted to have Democratic support for this deal. Peter Navarro himself is a former Democrat, so they wanted this to have support across the aisle, and I think it's going to have that. We should keep in mind, though, Noel, this is more of an updating of NAFTA than a wholesale rewrite. It does cover 21st century products like digital trade, which barely existed when NAFTA took effect in the mid-90s. But it's not an overwhelming rewrite of the deal. It is a tweak at the margin that will make some changes and some improvements. But the estimates are that it's going to boost GDP by about 1/3 of 1%. So it's not going to be a huge economic shot in the arm. What it does do is avoid the calamity that would have happened had President Trump made good on his threat to scrap NAFTA with nothing to take its place.
I see. So a bit of disaster avoided here, potential disaster avoided. NPR's Scott Horsley. Thanks so much, Scott.
Good to be with you, Noah.
When the CEO of Boeing testified before Congress recently, he faced criticism for the crashes of two 737 MAX planes. Today, it's Steve Dixon's turn. The administrator of the Federal Aviation Administration appears before the House Transportation Committee, which is investigating those crashes. The FAA is accused of overlooking Boeing's design flaws when certifying the plane. NPR's David Shaper reports.
Well, many air travelers say they won't fly on a 737 MAX if and when the plane returns to service. Jay Hamantgad will. But the London resident says only after regulators in Canada, Europe, and other countries certify the plane is safe. He no longer trusts the FAA.
Certainly not. The American federal agency didn't actually do its job this time. They've kind of pushed through something that shouldn't have been pushed through.
Another traveler recently passing through Chicago's O'Hare Airport, Rasan Bernard of Washington, D.C., says he too is concerned that the FAA seems to have failed to provide adequate safety oversight.
When you have influential players in the marketplace like Boeing, in essence, you can't have Boeing checking itself, right? And or you can't have Boeing putting pressure on the relationships that they have at the FAA to get things passed.
But over the last decade and a half, many aviation experts say that's exactly what's happened.
We're now in a situation where 98% of all the regulation of Boeing is done by Boeing itself with its own employees.
Paul Hudson is with FlyersRights.org and sits on advisory committees to the FAA.
The level of quality has gone down dramatically at Boeing as the oversight has been reduced.
A recent report by Hudson's group details how the FAA's increasing delegation of oversight responsibilities has compromised safety.
The FAA has to take back control from Boeing. There can no longer be self-regulation.
As the investigations into the 737 MAX crashes in Indonesia and Ethiopia find evidence that Boeing downplayed the risks of a new flight control system on the MAX and that the FAA failed to catch those flaws, the regulatory agency's reputation around the world has taken a hit. For decades, the FAA established a high benchmark for aviation safety globally and built a strong relationship with its regulatory counterparts in other countries.
The MAX actually really created a rift in that relationship.
That's Marissa Garcia, an aviation writer and analyst based in Denmark, who notes that aviation authorities in Canada, Europe, India, South Africa, and elsewhere are now pushing back and doing their own reviews of Boeing's fixes and revisions to the 737 MAX.
Individual regulators are not comfortable doing a cosign, a rubber stamp of the FAA's views on this.
And in recent weeks, the FAA has been flexing more regulatory muscle over Boeing. FAA Administrator Steve Dixon has said the agency will not be rushed into recertifying the 737 MAX, repeatedly telling employees they should be thorough in their testing and analysis and take all the time they need, points that Dixon will likely highlight before Congress today. Also appearing before the House Transportation Committee is a Boeing whistleblower, Edward Pearson. He says as a senior manager at the 737 factory outside of Seattle, he complained to superiors about safety risks created by the pressure to ramp up production 4 months before the first 737 MAX crash. The now-retired Pearson told NBC's Today show that overworked and exhausted employees made mistakes while putting the planes together, describing the assembly plant floor as dangerous and chaotic. Ed Pearson says he wrote to company executives, telling them the safety of the flying public was at risk.
You know, I said that all my internal warning bells are going off, and that, you know, first time in my life I'm hesitant about putting my family on a Boeing plane.
Pearson says he thinks the production problems contributed to the MAX crashes. In a statement, Boeing says the company took his concerns seriously, but that Pearson's suggestion of a link between his concerns and the recent MAX accidents is completely unfounded. Meanwhile, the FAA has its hands full, not only defending its regulatory actions, but in trying to restore its reputation as a world leader in aviation safety. David Shaper, NPR News, Chicago.
Support for NPR comes from WBUR and from Simon & Schuster, publishers of The American Story, Conversations with Master Historians. David Rubenstein discusses the story of America with Doris Kearns Goodwin, Bob Woodward, and others. Available now where books are sold. Capital One, offering a variety of credit card options with features for a range of customers, from foodies to travelers. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Credit approval required. Capital One Bank, USA, N.A. And Total Wine and More, where in-store teams can recommend a bottle of wine, spirit, or beer for any occasion. Shoppers can explore more than 8,000 wines, 2,500 beers, and 3,000 spirits. More at TotalWine.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Bob Oakes here with Sam Fleming and Jay Clayton for just a couple of minutes before we go right back to the important stories of the day at 7:30. We're asking you to recognize, though, that time is running out on a wonderful little gift that we have for you this morning. For a pledge at this moment in the WBUR year-end fundraiser, for a pledge in any amount, we'll send you a really cool retro-looking WBUR knit cap with a pom-pom on top. It's a wonderful way to show your support for WBUR, and again, we'll send it out for a gift in any amount. But this offer is only on the table till 8 o'clock this morning, so if you want one of these wonderful hats, and a lot of people have called to take them away, you need to pledge now. The number is 1-800-909-9287, or give at WBUR.org. In a couple of minutes, I'll tweet a picture of myself wearing the hat. Out.
I look forward to seeing that.
But before you see that, give at WBUR.org or 1-800-909-9287. Take the hat away for a little pledge that supports independent journalism.
Yeah, so the next half an hour is important, but really the next couple of days is important. We're ending this fundraiser on Friday. We have some special broadcasts because of what's going on in Congress right now regarding impeachment. So every chance we can to communicate to you the necessary needs that we have to get through the next year for the kind of journalism that you count on and will count on long after this fundraiser is over. Do your part. It's the end of the year. We know everybody's busy. So if you have a couple of minutes right now, this is a great time. Take advantage of that hat and take advantage of your opportunity to pledge support for the radio station that you count on.
The number to call to do that is 800-909-9287. You can also give online, WBUR.org. We encourage you to go to the website if you can, because you can see this hat, and we think when you see it, you'll realize you want one, just as hundreds of other people have already done when we've made this offer. And again, the offer is any contribution that you can make before 8 o'clock, just the next 32 minutes, you will get this WBUR knit winter hat as our thanks. Now, full disclosure, has to be $5 or more to cover the cost of getting you the hat, but beyond that, any amount that you want to give to help us bring you the news. And keep in mind that listener support adds up to half of the funding for WBUR and all the programs that you listen to. That is why your contribution in our last fundraiser for this year is so vital here at WBUR. Vital because you're going to keep on counting on this news. The number to call to support it is 800-909-9287, and you can give at WBUR.org.
Pledge for all the news you've listened to in the last week alone, all the impeachment proceedings up on Capitol Hill, which we've interrupted regular programming for, which we've interrupted the fundraiser for, to make sure that you have live coverage of all the important things that are happening on Capitol Hill. And you know it's going to happen again at 7 p.m. tonight when the House Judiciary Committee considers the impeachment resolution. And it's going to happen again at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning when they debate some more and maybe take the vote tomorrow in the House. It's important for WBUR to make sure that we have the money to bring you all of the coverage that you've come to depend on. 2019, certainly a busy year in the news. 2020 is going to be even busier as the impeachment process moves forward, as we move to a possible Senate trial in the new year, as we go through the 2020 campaign, the presidential campaign. The U.S. Senate race here in Massachusetts will be one of the most important in the country. We'll be following that, plus all the rest of the news that you've come to rely on WBUR for. You just put a little bit back. Yeah, put a little bit back to into WBUR right now by giving us a pledge of any amount at 1-800-909-9287 or give at WBUR.org.
Listeners like yourself perhaps tune into WBUR as many as 10 times a week, maybe 10 minutes at a time, sometimes for an hour if you're listening to On Point or Here and Now. WBUR is there for you. We need your support, though, to keep this very special brand of journalism and discussions, context, looking at what's going on in the world. We need your support.
And the way to get that support to us is go to WBUR.org or give us a call at 800-909-9287. Just 30 minutes left to get the hat, the WBUR knit cap, as our thanks for any contribution you want to make before 8 o'clock this morning. 800-909-9287 or WBUR.org.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the United Church of Christ, living the inclusive love and justice of Jesus. Find a church at ucc.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. Later today, the House Judiciary Committee will consider two articles of impeachment against President Trump: abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. They were announced yesterday by House Democrats. The Senate Judiciary Committee hears from the Justice Department's Inspector General this morning. Michael Horowitz will be questioned about his report into the origins of the FBI's investigation into President Trump and Russia. The Federal Reserve is expected to leave U.S. interest rates unchanged when it wraps up its latest policy meeting today. NPR's Scott Horsley says the Fed's final meeting of the year comes days after the Labor Department reported strong hiring in November.
The Federal Reserve has already cut interest rates three times since July, and Fed Chairman Jerome Powell signaled after the last meeting they're likely done cutting for the time being unless the economy worsens. That position was likely solidified by a blockbuster jobs report last week showing U.S. employers added 266,000 jobs in November. With unemployment near a 50-year low, the economy hardly looks as though it needs another shot in the arm from the central bank. That hasn't stopped President Trump from jawboning the Fed to cut rates even further. Trump blames last year's rate hikes by the Fed for slowing GDP growth, though three out of four of those rate hikes have now been reversed. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News from Washington.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning. I'm Bob Oakes in Boston. It hit 63 degrees yesterday in Boston, but this morning it's a different story. A snowstorm has left several inches overnight, and it's still snowing across eastern Mass right now. State Highway Administrator Jonathan Gulliver says most highways are in good shape, but local streets are a little treacherous.
A lot of the local communities are still trying to catch up with the snowfall. We got a pretty heavy band in over the last couple of hours, so a lot of local roads are going to lag behind and going to be tough for the next couple hours, I expect.
Gulliver says crews will be out sanding roads all day today to prevent freezing for the evening commute. With a look at the forecast, WBUR meteorologist Dave Epstein joins us now via Skype. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
So what's happening out there right now? Where's it snowing the hardest?
Well, right along the coastline, we're watching that heavy band which went through and dropped most of the snowfall that we got, generally a couple of inches, a few places getting 3 inches. But that's now right along the coastline, just about South Weymouth, down towards Brockton, Randolph, Abington, North Scituate getting some pretty heavy snow. But in the city of Boston, it's pretty much lightened up. There's still flakes out, but the accumulating stuff is over.
All right, the accumulating stuff is over here. When's it all going to move out, and what will total snowfall be like?
Right, so we've got a little bit of a break here right now. There's one final little batch back across the Berkshires. If that holds together, it would come through here later on this morning. The models have been indicating that there would be the main burst, which gives us 98% of our snowfall. There might be a quick little dusting here with that last batch late morning, early afternoon hours as that moves through. Most places just getting 2 to 3 inches. We'll see a few places get a couple, get an inch more than that. I wouldn't be surprised to see a 4-inch amount show up in a few spots with banding, but basically it's a 2 to 3 inch little snowfall here this morning.
Could we actually get some sun before the day is out?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the sun will come out by the time we get towards the end of the afternoon. Temperatures will get above freezing for just a couple of hours. So what I would recommend is try to get shoveling, get your pavement, get the driveways down to bare pavement. The 34, 35 degrees will help to kind of clear things out. And then it's going below freezing for all of us overnight tonight.
And what about after tonight?
So after we get by tonight, things look pretty good for tomorrow, but it's going to be cold. Temperatures will only be in the upper 20s to low 30s. Remember, those high temperatures only last for a couple of hours or so. So most of the day tomorrow is actually going to be in the 20s. And then it's clear and very cold tomorrow night, down in the teens and 20s once again. As we head for Friday, it will cloud over, and there's going to be a storm system moving right through the western part of New England. That puts us on the warm side of things, which means more rain, actually, and quite a bit of it, 1 to 2 inches. So I think all of the snow will be washed away with temperatures into the 50s on Saturday.
WBUR meteorologist Dave Epstein joining us live this morning. Thanks a lot, Dave.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
There are a number of school closings and delays this morning. You can get the list at WBUR.org. In Boston right now, it's 29 degrees, 29 in Westboro, 36 degrees in Gloucester, and 31 in Bridgewater. In other news, a new WBUR poll out of New Hampshire this morning finds South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg leading the Democratic primary field by a slim margin. The poll of likely voters has Buttigieg at 18%, Joe Biden at 17%, Bernie Sanders at 15, and Elizabeth Warren at 12%. Among the late entrants to the race, former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick polls at less than 1%. Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg is at 2%. On the Republican side, the poll shows President Trump leads the GOP field with 74%. The State Public Health Council votes today on new regulations for the sale of vaping products. WBUR's Angus Chen reports the temporary emergency state ban on the sale of vaping products will lift after today's vote.
The Public Health Council is preparing to lift the temporary ban after passage of a new state law that severely restricts the sales of flavored vape and tobacco products. The council is considering new regulations, like requiring stores to move all vaping merchandise behind the counter. Governor Baker said last week, the council will also decide how to enforce new rules around vaping.
They will, in fact, implement both public information around this, but also some rules of the road with respect to where and how vaping products can be sold here in the Commonwealth.
Baker put the temporary ban in place over concerns about a growing number of lung illnesses and some deaths linked to vaping. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Angus Chen.
Sports: Celtics go for their fifth straight win tonight as they visit the Indiana Pacers. The Bruins will be in D.C. tonight to skate with the Capitals, trying to stop their three-game losing streak. And again, the forecast. WBUR meteorologist Dave Epstein just a moment ago said that this morning storm should end pretty quickly. Late this afternoon, we might even have some sunshine, but according to 3 inches on the ground between now and then, slicking up some of the roads. In Boston now, 29 degrees. The time is 7:30.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by Plymouth Rock Assurance, offering customers a ride home through their Get Home Safe program. Learn more at PlymouthRock.com. Capital One, offering a variety of credit card options with features for a range of customers, from foodies to travelers. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Credit approval required. Capital One Bank, USA N.A. And Warner Brothers, presenting the new motion picture, Richard Jewell, based on the true story of the 1996 Atlanta bombing, a Clint Eastwood film only in theaters this Friday.
This is WBUR. Good morning. I'm Bob Oakes. Some Boston parents have had the opportunity to connect directly with the city's new school superintendent this semester. It's part of the school district's community engagement tour. As WBUR's Kerry Young reports, the effort, which wrapped up yesterday, brought out an overwhelming desire by parents for more equity in the city's school system.
It was a packed house at the English High School Library as Superintendent Brenda Caselius geared up for one of the last stops on her community engagement tour. And parents had a lot to say.
What concrete steps are you taking to recruit diverse talent?
I'm incredibly concerned about the exam schools.
We're getting to the point where there's some schools where the whole class is of children who are white and there's no black or brown kids in the class.
Equity and diversity were big themes that night. There were questions about exam schools like the Boston Latin School, then about school closings like the West Roxbury Education Complex and the planned closure of the Jackson Mann. Would there be more? Caselius also used the meeting as an opportunity to tell parents more about her own background and how she also struggled to get herself and her kids through school when they were younger.
I know what it's like to be a single mom for 10 years and to work two jobs and be on WIC and live in public housing and how hard that is on families.
She says the themes that came out of tonight's meeting carried through most of her tour around the district, which took her to more than two dozen town hall-style meetings and 150 school buildings.
The equity and opportunity just rises to the top for parents. They want high-quality schools in every neighborhood. They want to see our high schools be successful. They want art and music and outdoor play areas.
Community members say these meetings have a different vibe from the ones held by Caselius's predecessors, Laura Peril and Tommy Chang. Gerald Gabot, the executive director of the Immigrant Family Services Institute, says she felt like Caselius could relate more to the parents she works with.
She understands what it means to live with a single mother who has to go to work, living in public housing, you know, using food stamps. Walking in those shoes means a lot to us.
Gabot says for parents, there's a sense of cautious optimism. They liked what they heard, but feel like new superintendents typically come in with good intentions, but often get caught up in city politics and bureaucracy and have a hard time making meaningful change. That sentiment was echoed by parent Travis Marshall, who has two kids in the BPS district.
School communities have not really felt heard for a number of years in Boston, whether that's the closure of the Matterhunt or West Roxbury Education Complex, whether that's the start time debacle a couple years ago.
Those closures and the recent back and forth over school start time policies created a lot of distrust between the district and parents. He says community events like this are a needed good faith effort. But not everyone in the community took such a positive view.
For those of us who've been around a long time, there is nothing new.
Barbara Fields is a member of the Black Educators Alliance of Massachusetts, and she's the former director of the BPS Office of Equity. She says while it felt like Caselius was listening, the meetings were too short, only 2 hours long. She was also critical of the meeting structure. The district separated the crowd into groups to talk about issues for a good chunk of the event, but then limited their public presentations to one talking point. Fields felt like that downplayed the topics that are important to her community.
In the Black community, I know a real concern is the closure and merger of schools. The lack of access to quality schools that has come up. But I don't think as strongly as I know it's felt here.
As Caselius reflects on this semester-long effort, she says meeting parents around the area helped her to get to know the city. She added visiting all district school buildings, which was the other half of this effort, was equally important.
When you go from one school to the next school to the next school, you get such a great snapshot in your head on, you know, what schools have and what they don't have. It really gives me a good sense of what the priority should be.
She says these factors will be critical as she continues making headway on the highly anticipated district strategic plan. That is expected next month. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Kerry Young.
I'm Tiziana Deering. The holidays are here, and finding that perfect gift for everyone on your list is tough.
No, it's not. Give WBUR. For your nephew, who fancies himself a comedian, he gets more Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Your sister, who loves actors, musicians, and authors, she'll get more Fresh Air with Terry Gross. And the grandkids? It is a gift they will rely on for the rest of their lives. Because you'll be supporting a legacy of independent journalism, so they can make sense of the world as they build their own futures. So this holiday season, give WBUR. Do your one-stop shopping with us. Make your tax-deductible donation right now. Here's how.
Pretty simple. All you need to do is go to the website to give at WBUR.org or dial the number 1-800-909-9287. It only takes 2 minutes to make the gift, whether you use a phone number or go to the website and pledge to WBUR. What you're pledging for is independent, thorough news. What you're giving for right now, though, if you give us any amount, is the hat, the WBUR knit hat that we're going to send away with a pom-pom on top of it. Proudly wear it, knowing you've supported independent radio, knowing you've supported the news here on WBUR, and we'll send it to you for a gift in any amount. But this offer is only on the table for another 15 minutes till 8 o'clock. Take advantage of it. Pledge at WBUR.org. Pledge for the news at 1-800-909-9287.
And we talk about pledging for the news, but it's way more than that. It's about the conversations. It's about asking questions of issues that you're interested in, whether you're listening to On Point or Here and Now or later with All Things Considered or WBUR's Morning Edition right now with Bob Oakes and Steve Inskeep. This is the station that you count on to get that news, to get that information, and then to get the questions that are posed about what it might mean. That's one of the reasons that public radio has grown so much, and the WBUR has become a prominent source of information and news for you and other listeners around the country and around the region. Do your part. We need the resources to keep this precious kind of journalism going.
WBUR doesn't put Morning Edition or any program on the air to make as much money as we can. That's commercial radio, and that's okay. It's just different. WBUR just raises the money that it takes to bring you the programs that matter to you and matter to this community. So for your own listening, for the benefit of having a more informed community so everybody can listen to WBUR, please chip in as generously as you can. And for just 14 more minutes, you can get a WBUR knit winter cap for yourself or anyone else. Maybe you want to gift this to somebody for the holidays. You can get one as our thanks for any contribution that you make before 8 o'clock. Normally, the hats are available as our thanks for a $10 a month contribution, but you pick any amount. Does need to be $5 minimum to cover the cost of getting the hat to you, but beyond that, any amount you want to give, as long as you do it before 8 o'clock. Now, 13 minutes to go to get the hat as our thanks. Just go to WBUR.org. You can see the hat there and get one when you contribute, WBUR.org. Or you can give us a call. The number is 800-909-9287.
You can also see it on Twitter because about 3 minutes ago I tweeted it out with a, you know, it's on somebody's head. It might be mine. I'm not going to tell you. But you can see it there. You can see it online at WBUR.org. But as Jay Clayton says, only now 13 minutes to go if you want to get the hat. Protect independent journalism. Pledge to WBUR. The hat will send out for any amount, but we're asking for a generous pledge to WBUR if you can do it. The average gift is $100. If you can give $100 or $200 or $1,000 or $2, we're asking you to do that right now because this fundraiser is going to end on Friday. And between now and Friday, we have a pretty tall order. We need to raise $500,000. So we're asking that you be as generous as you possibly can at the end of the year when you're giving to organizations meaningful to you. Be as generous as you can for the news that you depend on WBUR for. The number, again, is 1-800-909-9287 or give at WBUR.org.
And we know that listener habits are changing. Ours are changing. We're listening to more podcasts. We're listening to on-demand audio. We are changing as well. well to make sure that we can provide you the news and information live on the radio as you're listening right now, but also in online and in other forms. We're going to be there for you. You're investing in this radio station to get the kind of news and information and engagement. City space, think of that, live programs. This is your radio station. You have helped make us what we are. We need your support for the resources to keep this growing.
The number to call to give is 800-909-9287. You can also give at WBUR.org. Now, just 11 minutes left to get the WBUR knit hat for the winter. As our thanks for any contribution that you can make, 800-909-9287 is the number to call. 800-909-9287 or WBUR.org. Please give as soon as you can and as generously as you can, and thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by Boston Ballet's The Nutcracker, a holiday treat for the whole family now through December 29th. Make memories to cherish with the ones you love. BostonBallet.org. Indeed, with its skills tests, built for employers who want to see a deeper sense of the person behind the resume. Learn more at Indeed.com/NPR. And the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, whose Sickle Cell Disease Advancing Cures program supports cutting-edge research to cure sickle cell disease. Learn more at ddcf.org.
This is WBUR. In Bostonomics business, home sales and prices are surging again in the state. The Massachusetts Association of Realtors reports more than 4,300 homes were put under agreement last month, up nearly 17% from last November. However, Association President Ann Meswar says not enough homes are for sale here to meet demand.
We will eventually come to a point where we run out of homes to sell unless we start getting more out, put on the market, or more homes built to be sold.
The median selling price for homes put under agreement last month reached $406,000, which was up 2% from last November. This is WBUR. It's 751.
Funding for WBUR's business report comes from First Republic. First Republic's dedicated team invests time with their business banking clients in order to provide customized solutions, financial advice, and personalized service. Learn more at firstrepublic.com. First Republic, it's a privilege to serve you. Member FDIC.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Noel King.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. 200,000 American students now know that officials in the U.S. Education Department were on their side. They took out student loans. They said for-profit colleges fleeced them. They would like their loans forgiven. And internal Education Department documents obtained by NPR argue that the loans should have been forgiven. So why did the education secretary say no? NPR's Corey Turner got his hands on those documents. He's in our studios. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
What's this fight about?
So you'll remember a few years ago during the Obama administration, a handful of big, high-profile, for-profit colleges essentially collapsed.
Right.
Corinthian Colleges, ITT Tech were two big names. And this left hundreds of thousands of borrowers with big debts and degrees that they say are basically worthless. So the students started protesting, saying they deserve to have their debts erased. And you have to remember, because we're talking about federal student loans, the decision of what to do about those loans is really up to the U.S. Department of Education. So ultimately, the Obama administration urged these students to file claims under an old rule known as borrower defense, which basically says, if you think you were defrauded, state your case, and maybe you'll get your money back.
You obtained documents then saying what Education Department officials thought of those requests for forgiveness.
That's exactly right. So in early 2017, this is just a few weeks, really, before Betsy DeVos is sworn in as secretary, a bunch of career staff at the department write these memos after reviewing thousands of these borrower defense claims. And they basically say, yeah, Corinthian and ITT schools misled borrowers, making promises about things like job prospects after graduation and the transferability of credits that just weren't true. And so these department staff say in these memos, we agree with these students. The value of an education from these schools is, quote, either negligible or non-existent. Hmm. So the memos even quote defrauded borrowers. One of them says, I cannot find a job using my degree. People just laugh in my face.
Wow.
So these memos officially recommend to the department a sweeping approach to relief. All of these borrowers, they say, deserve to have their debts wiped out.
I guess we got to take that present tense and put it in the past tense. You said these memos recommend. These memos recommended almost 3 years ago that these loans be forgiven. What happened?
They did, and this fight has been playing out ever since because Secretary DeVos comes in and over the course of the past 3 years has made it clear she does not like this this full relief approach to borrower defense. She has called it easy money. And so instead, in fact, just yesterday, she unveiled a new approach to grant students essentially partial relief. Her reasoning is, even if students were lied to, which the department still doesn't dispute, if they're working now and earning a respectable living, why should they get the money back? That's what the department now argues. In a statement to NPR, a department spokesperson said, quote, "Full relief sounds nice. To force taxpayers to provide blanket forgiveness, though, would be abandoning our duty to be good stewards of tax dollars." The department, they say, will provide student loan relief to those who qualify. And we should say, you know, this fight is going to play out on a very big stage tomorrow. DeVos is scheduled to testify before the House Education Committee.
We'll be listening. Corey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve.
That's NPR's Corey Turner.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life. And when we say here during the pledge drive that public radio equals public support, what we mean by that is that those of us who like the kinds of stories and shows and news and analysis and music heard on this radio station every single day, we pitch in together. And really, that's how it stays on the air. That's all we need to keep it on the air. Public radio equals public support. Give us a call.
Here's the number. It's 1-800-909-9287. Or, of course, you can pledge online at WBUR.org. But what we want you to know is it's 7:56 in the morning, and we have a wonderful offer expiring in just 4 minutes. You can pledge any amount, and we'll send you the WBUR winter hat, a vintage-inspired knit hat that you can see because I just tweeted it out at at Bob_Oaks. You can see it there. Jay Clayton.
Yeah, I just want to let you know, I was just told by Mike Steffen, our membership director, we've got 38 hats left, and the offer ends at 8 o'clock anyway.
Holy cow.
But you'll need to be one of the next 38 people to give, and the deal is any amount, as long as it's $5 or more, to allow us the postage to get the hat to you. $5 or more, any amount beyond that, you get the hat as our thanks. But again, only 38 of them left, and the offer ends in about 3 minutes anyway. So go to the phone or the web to get in on that as your way of supporting WBUR. Just go to WBUR.org, that's WBUR.org, or you can call this number, 1-800-909-9287.
And make sure that you're thinking about the news that you count on. The hat would be great as you're listening, walking down the sidewalk to WBUR, streaming on your iPhone or Android tool. This is the radio station that you count on, though, to keep up with what's going on. There's going to be a special program tonight at 7 o'clock. The House Judiciary Committee is going to start debating articles of impeachment. I think that's going to be very interesting this evening. And then that will continue tomorrow at 9. It does interrupt the fundraiser a little bit, but we need to keep bringing you the news. That's why we're here. That's what you count on. But we count on you. We only have a couple of minutes to get the message to you that we really need the resource of your dollars, whether it's 25, 100, 1,000, whatever it is you can do to keep this radio station going well into 2020.
And we only have a couple dozen of these hats left for a gift in any amount, whether it's that $20, $25, $1,000 pledge right now. Now's the time to give WBUR to yourself and the community. Keep yourself informed. Keep the community informed in these very complicated times by giving to WBUR right now. This fundraiser ends in a couple of days. We're closing it out on Friday. Between now and then, we need to raise a little under $500,000. We need your gift right now at 1-800-909-9287. A gift of $100 is the average to WBUR. How about making that now if that's in your budget? WBUR.org or 1-800-909-9287. and just a few of these fleece hats now for a gift in any amount.
Yeah, now I'm told 24 hats left. It's 7:58. You've only got until 8 o'clock to get this anyway, but you'll need to be one of the next 24 people who ask for that as our thanks. And again, the deal is make any contribution amount as long as it's $5 or more to cover the postage to get you the hat, and we will give you the hat as our thanks for throwing a little bit of money into WBUR, essential money for essential news coverage. This is how we pay for WBUR in a large part with listener contributions. So we really appreciate and need your support here at WBUR. The number to call to give is 800-909-9287. You can also give at WBUR.org. Last chance to get the hat as our thanks for any contribution that you want to make. I'm sure we've got fewer than 24 left now.
We all know that our government and the United States in and of itself is going through a difficult time right now, and trust in government, trust in journalism is a reflection of that, unfortunately. I think public radio, public media has stayed the course. We're still bringing you the news and information that you count on, the conversations, the questions, the facts. This is what we're all about. You've helped make this radio station flourish. Do your part, because we need the resources heading into the election, heading into the end of the whole impeachment process. This is your radio station. Please do your part.
You know that WBUR is your trusted source of news and information. It's why you keep coming back to the radio. It's why you keep coming back to your listening device to make sure that you have WBUR coming to your ears. Or it's why you go to the website, WBUR.org, to read all the latest news. We're independent, we're editorially independent, but in order to be that way, we need the support of our contributing listeners, and we're asking you right now to become a contributing listener. We appreciate the fact you're on the other end of the radio or your listening device, but we need you to give right now as we go to the news at 8 o'clock. The number to call is 1-800-909-9287, or give at WBUR.org. And Jay, we have just a few of these knit hats left for a gift in any amount.
Latest update is 24 hats left. It is 8 o'clock right now, so if you're real quick, you
speedy,
can get one
speedy.
Of those. Yeah, you can get one of those as our thanks for any contribution you want to make right now to WBUR. But again, only a dozen of the hats left. The way to get one, go to WBUR.org and give, or call 800-909-9287. And thank you from all of us here at WBUR for your support.
You're listening to 90.9 WBUR FM Boston,
92.7 WBUA Tisbury,
89.1 WBUH Brewster,
streaming at WBUR.org,
and live at City Space, Boston's new home for public conversation.
WBUR, Boston's NPR news station.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Lawmakers are set to hear from Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz today about the conduct of FBI investigations during the Russia probe. As NPR's Amy Held reports, Horowitz is set to give public testimony on his review of the probe into Russian interference in the 2016 election.
Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham is leading the hearing. Graham, like other Republican allies of the president, seized on the 17 significant errors or omissions the report found in the FBI's application for surveillance of a Trump campaign aide. Graham said they show the investigation became flawed to the point of being unlawful.
The system not only got off the rails, but in my view, became a criminal enterprise.
The 400-page report did not, however, find any evidence of political bias or intentional misconduct on the part of investigators, despite Trump long claiming to be the target of special counsel Robert Mueller's partisan witch hunt. Amy Held, NPR News, Washington.
More than 200,000 student borrowers who say they were defrauded are still waiting for the Department of Education to decide if their federal student loans will be erased. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos says no. But as NPR's Corey Turner reports, internal memos show department staff disagreed.
The memos obtained by NPR are from late 2016 and early 2017, just weeks before DeVos was sworn in. They show the department reviewed the claims of thousands of borrowers who say they were ripped off by now-defunct Corinthian Colleges and ITT Tech. Staff then made the case for full relief of borrowers' student debts. But DeVos delayed processing claims until the department could come up with a new plan. Yesterday, it unveiled a formula to give partial debt relief to borrowers depending on their earnings now. The department tells NPR, quote, "Full relief sounds nice, but to force taxpayers to provide blanket forgiveness would be abandoning our duty to be good stewards of tax dollars." Corey Turner, NPR News, Washington.
Federal Reserve officials are meeting in Washington today. NPR's Scott Horsley reports they're widely expected to leave interest rates unchanged despite pressure from President Trump.
Fed Chairman Jerome Powell has made it clear he thinks the economy is in a good place right now. He and his colleagues are disinclined to cut interest rates anymore unless they get fresh evidence of an economic downturn. They got the opposite of that last Friday when the Labor Department reported that employers added a better-than-expected 266,000 jobs in November.
NPR Scott Horsley. In Spain, authorities evacuated an area near Barcelona early this morning after fire ripped through a plant, sending plumes of black smoke into the air. Others were told to stay inside to avoid breathing in those fumes. It happened at an industrial recycling plant, and it's not clear what's burning inside that plant. Officials, though, say there are no reported injuries. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning, I'm Bob Oakes. The morning snowstorm is just about over out in western Mass, but there is still big bands of snow in central Mass, and it's still pretty steady in parts of eastern Mass this morning. 1 to 3 inches could fall by the time it's all over. State transportation officials have more than 1,200 crews out treating roads. The T is running on time this morning, though there are some delays right now across commuter rail. We'll have the forecast in just a minute. In other news, a new WBUR poll of New Hampshire Democrats out this morning finds Pete Buttigieg leading a tightly packed presidential field. A survey of likely voters finds 18% back Buttigieg, 17% support Joe Biden. Bernie Sanders comes in next with 15% support, and Elizabeth Warren is in fourth at 12%. The New Hampshire primary is coming up on February 11th. Among Republicans, the poll found President Trump's favorability rating in New Hampshire remains high despite the impeachment proceedings. WBUR's Wilder Fleming has that story.
The poll finds 74% of likely Republican voters say they'd cast their ballot for Trump in the New Hampshire primary. Trump challenger and former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld trails by over 60 points with only 9%.
So he's not really giving Donald Trump any sort of scare at the moment, but he is actually pulling numbers that could mean that he ends up getting a decent number of votes.
Former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh polls at just 4%. Among Republican voters, the poll finds Trump holds a 71% favorability rating. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Wilder Fleming.
A Taunton man who spent 35 years in prison for a murder he says he did not commit will not be retried. Gary Sifazari, who's now free, was convicted in 1984 for the murder of his great aunt in Milford. Authorities say new DNA evidence in the case now implicates another man who is dead. Sifazari's attorney is Radha Natarajan.
He really believed that. I mean, he didn't know when. And, you know, we didn't know this was going to happen today. But when it did, he said, you know, it's the greatest Christmas present.
Sifazari has been out of jail since July. A federal judge in New York has ruled in favor of ExxonMobil in a lawsuit finding the company did not intentionally hide from investors how the company would be affected by climate change. The ruling in that case comes as State Attorney General Maura Healey pursues a similar lawsuit separately against ExxonMobil. She claims the company misled consumers and investors about how burning fossil fuels leads to climate change. Sports, the Bruins and the Capitals face off tonight in Washington, D.C. Also tonight, the Celtics take on the Pacers in Indianapolis. Forecast, according to 3 to 4 inches of snow this morning from the storm that's moving through, the greater snowfall will come south of Boston. We should have some sun, though, this afternoon. Highs today only in the 30s. Chilly tonight. Lows fall to about 20 degrees. Sunny and 30 tomorrow. Could be some showers late in the day on Friday. It'll be 40 Friday. Mild on Saturday. Rain rainy but in the 50s, then sunny and in the 40s on Sunday. In Boston now, 29 degrees, 30 in Needham, 29 degrees in Gloucester, and 31 degrees in Fall River at 8:08.
Funding for WBUR Weather Reports comes from GEICO, offering the GEICO mobile app, which stores ID cards and enables bill pay and claim reports directly from your cell phone. Learn more at geico.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Bob Oakes still here in the studio with our interim general manager, Sam Fleming. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Robert.
And a very good morning to Jay Clayton. Hi, Jay.
Good morning, gentlemen.
So we had a fantastic hour last hour as we pretty much gave away the WBUR knit cap for a pledge in any amount. But that's now over, and we want you to know that this WBUR fall fundraiser is almost over as well. It's wrapping up on Friday. But between now and then, we need to raise almost $500,000. So we've set a pretty big goal this hour. We want you to go to the phones if you can to support the news, and we'd like you to do it right now because between now and 9 o'clock, we hope to raise $20,000 to pay for all the programs here on WBUR, Morning Edition, All Things Considered, On Point, Here and Now, Radio Boston. Your gift in any amount, $50, $100, which is the average pledge, $1,000 or $2,000, appreciated right now because it goes into the news and it's needed with the end of the fundraiser in sight and the goal so big between now and then. Here's the number to call. It's 1-800-909-9287 or give at WBUR.org.
And please do your part for the station that you count on. It's the end of the year. We know everybody's busy. So if you have a few minutes right now and you're a regular listener to Morning Edition to count on what's going on, to find out what has happened overnight, what's happening today, Special Judiciary Committee impeachment proceedings starting at 7 o'clock tonight. We will broadcast that live. It will continue again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. There have been interruptions to this fundraiser, so every chance we get to just communicate to you about the need for us to have the resources to keep growing this news product that you count on. 2020 is going to be such a big year. The impeachment trial in the Senate is likely to happen. The election is going to happen. We need to be there for you for all of the news that you count on.
And you're going to count on WBUR being there, and we will be because other listeners are giving and have given earlier in the year. We thank you if you've already done your part for WBUR, but if not, this is our last fundraiser for the year. We've now got $19,000 to raise between now and 9 o'clock, and we're just asking you to chip in whatever part of that is comfortable for your budget to join other listeners who keep WBUR here and keep WBUR independent with their support. We have got another terrific way to thank you, and this is a big one. We're calling it the WBUR Super Fan Pack. It includes a WBUR tote bag, a WBUR mug, and a Charles River Apparel WBUR rain jacket. All of those three gifts as our thanks for your contribution of $120 today only. $10 a month or $120 all at once if you want to do it that way. You'll get all three, the rain jacket, the tote bag, and the WBUR mug as our thanks for your contribution of $120 that will help us bring you the news here on WBUR. To get in on that, just go to WBUR.org. It'll take you 2 minutes to make your contribution there. Again, WBUR.org. Or the phone number you can call, 800-909-9287.
I already have a tote bag and a coffee mug from fundraisers past here on WBUR, maybe. But here you go. Three all at once in this super fan giveaway.
Sounds like a good present for your brother-in-law.
Exactly. That's right. What I was going to say. A quick pledge of $120. You get three nice gifts, and you can give them all away if you'd like, or keep them for yourself. Your money goes into the news, though, and that's the first thing we want you to remember. It goes into the thoughtful presentation. It goes into the live coverage that you've heard of all the impeachment proceedings from Capitol Hill in the last couple of weeks. We've got more coming up tonight at 7 o'clock before the House Judiciary Committee. We're committed to making sure that if you tune in tonight, you have that. We'll have more tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock as more deliberations continue on Capitol Hill. We're committed to bringing you that, just as we are dedicated dedicated to covering all the news wherever it's happening, whether it's Washington, whether it's London, whether it's anywhere around the world, and especially if it's here in Greater Boston. You know the WBUR staff is working for you all hours of the day and night, 24/7. We're asking you to give just 2 minutes, 2 minutes of your time right now, and a gift in any amount to support the news, to support independent, thorough journalism. 1-800-909-9287 is the number to call or give at WBUR.org.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by Curriculum Associates, local creator of iReady, designed to empower teachers and drive achievement for 8 million children nationwide. CurriculumAssociates.com. Jazz HR, recruitment software for your business, designed to manage unlimited users, job postings, and resumes from one central platform. Visit JazzHR.com. And iDrive, maker of remote PC, providing real-time remote access to computers anywhere, and featuring Remote PC Vision, an augmented reality support tool. Learn more at remotepc.com.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Noel King.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Tis the season of very long congressional hearings. House committees investigating the president have held sessions in recent weeks lasting 8 hours, 10 hours, even longer, slipping well into the evening. Today, a session begins in the evening, 7 o'clock tonight Eastern Time. The House Judiciary Committee edits the articles of impeachment. NPR congressional reporter Susan Davis is with us. Sue, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Okay, so we're going to edit documents in primetime.
Well, you know, they're going to at least get the theatrics out of the way tonight. Tonight starts a two-part series of something called a markup. A markup is quite literally when a committee can mark up a bill. They can change it, they can edit it, they can amend it. They want to start tonight because they want to get all of the opening statements and all of the member statements out of the way. So tomorrow they can get through any possible amendments. We don't expect many to pass. We expect the articles not to fundamentally change. And then get to that final vote on articles of impeachment in daylight hours so the country can see it.
Why only two articles against the president, one for abuse of power relating to his acts relating to Ukraine and one for obstruction of Congress?
The Democrats all along had indicated, it's certainly from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, that she wanted to keep this pretty narrow and pretty focused. A lot of Democrats, especially moderate Democrats, ones from the districts that Donald Trump won or is still very popular, have been supportive of the impeachment process, but have made clear their votes wouldn't be there if Democrats cast a really wide net. So in some ways, it's just the practical politics of it. If they want to have the votes to pass it on the floor, and they probably have those votes to do it next week, you are going to have to keep those moderates very happy with what they are, and they say that this is they're good with the scope of these articles.
How has the president reacted to this relatively narrow impeachment?
On brand.
okay.
He had a campaign rally last night in Pennsylvania, and this is how he talked about impeachment.
This is impeachment light. This is the lightest impeachment in the history of our country by far. It's not even like an impeachment.
It is most definitely an impeachment.
Yes.
I don't know what impeachment light is, but clearly the White House and Republicans and allies on the Hill have been very critical of this process, are not going to get any votes for impeachment from Republicans in Congress on this. And the White House will, you know, continues to say the process has been unfair to him, although they have indicated they might engage more in a trial in the Senate.
I guess he can say the impeachment charges are relatively narrow, but these articles, at least in this pre-edited form, echo directly some of the language from previous impeachments, proceedings against Richard Nixon and Bill Clinton. Now, as they go into this markup process, the next stage of impeachment, what else is the House doing?
It was a big week on Capitol Hill in terms of legislation. You know, they announced a trade deal, the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, a rewrite of the 1994 NAFTA trade bill. And they also are going to pass a defense bill today in which
Sue, I just got to stop you for a second. You just said it was a big week on Capitol Hill. It is Wednesday morning. It is Wednesday morning. But that's the way this week has felt.
This week has felt. Look, at the end of every year, Congress tends to get really productive because members are trying to get out of town. And this week they did get a couple of big bipartisan deals. And I think it's good for the president, right? He's getting to say he's delivering on his campaign promises. And it's good for Democrats. It's divided government. They need to also be able to go home and say, this is why you gave us the majority in the House. There was political incentives to really try and get some things done. So they have a trade deal. They're about to pass a defense bill today that will also be signed into law that includes a bipartisan deal to give the president the Space Force, that new branch of military wanted, in exchange for giving all federal workers 12 weeks of paid parental leave. So, you know, it does show that they can move forward with an impeachment and still move a legislative agenda.
Some Democrats have said, why work with this president at all? But clearly Nancy Pelosi feels differently.
She does, because I think she looks at legislative wins and sees it not, that something can be good for Trump and good for Democrats. They don't have to be mutually exclusive.
NPR congressional correspondent Susan Davis, thanks as always.
You're welcome.
Democrats running for president do not agree about health insurance. The question is, should the party expand Medicare just enough to give access to people who want it? Or should Democrats try to get rid of private health insurance entirely and create a national health plan that people call Medicare for All? All Things Considered co-host Ari Shapiro went to New Hampshire, where people are going to vote in the primary in 2 months. And in Concord, he met a pair of doctors on opposite sides of this divide.
These are not just any two doctors. Randy Hayes and Rob Kiefner have been friends for more than 35 years. They treated patients in the same community before they retired.
So we continue to be great friends throughout, and each other's doctor. And
you were both each other's doctor?
Yeah. How weird is that?
Now they are both involved in a progressive New Hampshire activist organization called the Kent Street Coalition. I invited them to Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, New Hampshire, a kind of community gathering place where Kent Street often holds meetings.
All the candidates show up here for Saturday morning sessions, and this is the True Brew Cafe section of Gibson's.
The two of them run Kent Street's healthcare working group.
Randy's the co-convener with a capital C, and I'm co-convener with a little C.
And you had no hesitation about co-convening with somebody who disagrees with you on the central healthcare question of the Democratic Party right now.
No.
Lots of voters form their opinions about health insurance based on their own experience, whether they have good coverage or not, whether they have medical debt or not. What I found so interesting about these two doctors is that their experience is almost identical. Rob and his wife, who's also a doctor, took over Randy's medical practice. I mean, these two men were each other's doctor. And yet, as the Democratic Party dukes it out over Medicare, these men are in opposite corners of the ring. In one corner, Rob Kiefner.
I fully support Medicare for All, single-payer, publicly financed, privately delivered care.
In the other corner, Randy Hayes.
I would support Medicare for some, Medicare for more, at the drop of a hat. But I am not convinced that the government running the entire billing process at this point is in the best interest of the country.
I brought them together so I could try to figure out how two people who line up in so many ways come to opposite conclusions on this key issue. It was a little more civilized than a boxing match. Rob began by telling me he has supported single-payer health care for about 20 years.
That kind of evolved from my experiences in practice, where I saw people die for lack of insurance. I saw people forego vital medications for lack of insurance. And I also felt as a physician and as a provider that I was being continually demeaned and snubbed by health insurance companies as they would refuse my recommendation. But
so you've held this view since long before it was widely held view in the Democratic Party.
Exactly. Huh. Right.
And Randy?
I, on the other hand, am somewhat more of an incrementalist. I don't see any example in my lifetime where something as financially and ideologically fundamental as the role of government in health care and how we finance it, I don't see any example that suggests to me that this can be a purely top-down reform. I see it as further divisive. I see it as easily demonized by talk radio, particularly among those who make their living dividing our country.
Could you each give me a specific example of a patient whose experience convinces you that you hold the right position on this question?
This is Rob. I'll just give an example of a patient who was a carpenter and self-employed who came in peeing blood, and he had something going on in his urinary tract, and it could have been a stone or it could have been a tumor. And the CT scan that we'd have to order, we priced it out. It was going to be $6,000. So he refused to have it.
Wow. And what happened to him?
Eventually it cleared up, and so he probably did have a stone.
Hmm.
but he was not willing or able, for that matter, to come up with those funds to pay for that test.
Randy, do you want to weigh in on that scenario?
I think that when you talk about a test being denied, you talk about a system that can be easily fixed.
For example, he says the Affordable Care Act fixed a lot of problems by making mental health care an essential benefit. He describes treating a patient with complicated mental illness.
I was able to get integrated care where I was speaking with the therapist who was practicing under the same roof as I was. I was able to consult psychiatry and modify the treatment plan. So in that regard, it didn't take a total redo of the system, but a better alignment of incentives. I totally am open to an increased role for government. I'm just pushing for an incremental approach. As we move forward, we keep one foot in our current experience and one foot in our future aspirations, and we see if we can gradually come to a program that nearly half of the country doesn't consider to be evil.
Well, can I actually just ask Rob to respond to that?
I would respond to that by saying that Medicare for All is actually, though it's publicly financed, is privately delivered care, unlike a system like the National Health Service in Britain, where the government owns the doctors, the hospitals, every aspect of the care. So it's not like the government has a hand in determining everything that happens with a patient. I would much rather have a not-for-profit entity managing my care than a for-profit entity. I know where the motivations are.
This conversation went on for almost an hour, and at the end, they didn't seem frustrated or angry. In fact, these two old friends seemed excited to have the debate. Here's how Randy put it.
I think you see movement and you see this blend of practicality and idealism from both sides. And I don't envy anyone who's trying to write a Democratic platform, but I would encourage them to listen carefully. And I love the idea of probing the relationship between progressive values and policy, because that stew is essentially spiced with practicality and electability. Unless we address the whole stew, we're going to be left in a dire strait for the next 4 years.
And with that, the two doctors, Randy Hayes and Rob Kiefner, finished their coffee and went back out into the New Hampshire snow.
That's All Things Considered, co-host Ari Shapiro.
Support for NPR comes from WBUR and from the Pajamagram Company, creators of matching holiday pajamas for the whole family, including dogs and cats, with Charlie Brown, Star Wars, and Grinch themes, in knits, fleece, and flannel, available at pajamagram.com. The Little Market, offering artisan-made goods and home decor with a commitment to fair trade, a nonprofit founded by women to empower female artisans in marginalized communities around the world. More at thelittlemarket.com. And Campaign Monitor with CM Commerce, an email marketing solution that connects to e-commerce platforms with a library of pre-built workflows for abandoned cart emails and post-purchase receipts and surveys. CampaignMonitor.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Bob Oakes, Jay Clayton, and Sam Fleming here for just a couple of minutes before we go right back to the morning's top stories at 8:30 here on WBUR, letting you know where we are at this moment in the WBUR year-end fundraiser. First, we are ending the fundraiser in a couple of days on Friday, but between now and then, we still need to raise about $500,000, which is a pretty big number. How do you help us out? How do you help us get there with a gift in any amount right now at the pledge line, 1-800-909-9287, or give online at WBUR.org. A gift in any amount to protect the journalism that you've come to depend on WBUR for, to help independent, thoughtful, thorough journalism. Give now at 8:26 in the morning.
And we have peeled off a chunk of that money already this morning. Many of your fellow listeners have called to do their part. They're only a couple more days left in the fundraiser. There are going to be some more interruptions because of what's going on in the House Judiciary Committee. So it's really important to do your part now for the journalism that you count on. Public radio is trusted. WBUR and NPR are trusted forms of journalism that you know that you can go to both get facts and also have great conversations and questions that are being posed, like the Ari Shapiro three-way that we just heard about Medicare for All and that issue and how it's being discussed in New Hampshire. A great conversation. That's what public radio is all about.
And it's here because listener support puts it all here for you. You're able to listen this morning to WBUR because of listeners who gave in earlier your fund drives. We thank you if you have. If you haven't yet for 2019, please make a contribution now. We've got $16,000 left to raise between now and 9 o'clock. We set that goal to keep the fundraiser on track, knowing we've only got a few hours left over the next couple of days to raise all of the money that it's going to take to bring you the news in the year and the months ahead. So give what you can for that. We've got a what we're calling a WBUR Superfan Pack as our thanks for your contribution this morning. It includes the WBUR, the newest tote bag, the newest WBUR mug, and the latest WBUR rain jacket from Charles River Apparel. And Tracy Lennon from Charles River Apparel will tell you that it's a great jacket to have on a day like today.
It really is more than just a rain jacket. I wear mine as an outer piece over my winter jacket when I'm out shoveling because it keeps me from getting wet, which is a really nice feature as well.
So these WBUR Charles River Apparel rain jackets are included in the Superfan Pack that we're giving away as our thanks for your $120 contribution. You get the rain jacket, you get the mug, you get the tote bag, all as our thanks for your $120 to help us bring you the news. And the thing about the jackets is you can get them in all the different men's and women's sizes, but as always, the most popular sizes are the ones to be gone first. So get yours before you miss out.
1-800-909-9287 is the pledge line. It's also the place where you can order the WBUR Superfan Pack that Jay was just talking about. Or, of course, you can go online at WBUR.org and give to WBUR there. Think about the fact that we're coming up to the end of the year and that WBUR has $500,000 to raise between now and then. We only raise the amount of money it takes to keep bringing you the news that you've come to depend on. 2019 has been an incredibly busy, complicated, unprecedented year in the news. 2020 is going to be even more so. We need to know that you're behind us as a listener and as a contributing listener. Give to WBUR right now as we close in on the end of the year, as we close in on the end of this fundraiser because it's shutting down on Friday. 1-800-909-9287 is the number to call, or give at WBUR.org, The average gift is $100. Give it now.
And we are going to invest that money in the journalism and journalists that you count on and will count on into 2020.
800-909-9287 is the number to call to get your support to WBUR this morning, or you can give it WBUR.org. Check out the Superfan Pack you can get as our thanks for your contribution of $120 to help us bring you the news.
Funding for WBUR Weather Reports comes from GEICO, offering the GEICO mobile app, which stores ID cards and enables bill pay and claim reports directly from your cell phone. Learn more at geico.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. A day after House Democrats announced articles of impeachment against President Trump, the House Judiciary Committee will meet to consider the charges. Members will convene this evening to examine abuse of power and obstruction of Congress stemming from Trump's July phone call with the president of Ukraine. At a rally in Pennsylvania last night, Trump told supporters he expects to win re-election in part because of the Democrats' impeachment effort. The Justice Department's Inspector General appears before the Senate Judiciary Committee this morning. Michael Horowitz will be answering questions about his report into the origins of the FBI's investigation into President Trump and Russia. The head of the FAA will be on Capitol Hill this morning to testify about Boeing's 737 MAX aircraft. NPR's David Shaper says they remain grounded following deadly crashes in Indonesia and Ethiopia.
Critics are calling on the FAA to drastically change or eliminate a program in which the agency delegates much of its oversight authority to Boeing, arguing such self-regulation may have allowed a flawed system onto MAX aircraft. Some lawmakers also question Boeing's influence in the FAA's office in Seattle, where they say concerns raised by agency safety experts are often overruled by supervisors under pressure from Boeing.
Time magazine's Person of the Year is teenage climate activist Greta Thunberg of Sweden. This is NPR News.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning. I'm Bob Oakes in Boston. It's a slower-than-normal commute this morning with wet and slippery roads as snow falls. As snow continues falling across central and eastern Mass, state transportation officials have more than 1,300 trucks and plows out there treating roads, and there's a speed restriction on part of the Mass Pike. State Highway Administrator Jonathan Gulliver says he's prepping for temperatures to drop through the day.
I'm going to plan on having our sanders out there most of the day today, make sure we get plenty of salt on the road so that as temperatures drop, we don't run into any sort of refreeze situation.
At Logan Airport this morning, there are just a few delays for flights heading out of the airport. Members of Massachusetts' all-Democratic congressional delegation are looking for Republican support when a vote comes on the articles of impeachment against President Trump. Congresswoman Catherine Clark says she believes the GOP does not have an argument against the substance of the impeachment articles.
What you don't hear from my Republican colleagues is any way to contest the facts that have been laid out.
The House Judiciary Committee will begin its hearing tonight on the articles of impeachment. WBUR and NPR will have live coverage tonight beginning at 7 p.m. Governor Baker's temporary ban on the sale of vaping products is scheduled to end today. The ban was put into place in September to give state health officials time to study a sometimes fatal lung illness associated with vaping. It's expected to lift. The ban is expected to lift after the State Public Health Council votes this morning on the new regulations. Sports: Celtics try to extend their four-game winning streak tonight when they visit the Indiana Pacers. The Bruins are trying to end their three-game skid tonight as they meet the Capitals in Washington. Now the forecast. Morning snow showers, but a coating to up to 3 to 4 inches are possible in terms of accumulation. Higher amounts south of Boston before the storm ends. It should close out this afternoon. Might have some sun before the day is out. Highs today in the 30s. Clear tonight, lows around 20 degrees. Sunny tomorrow, near 30 for Thursday. Partly sunny on Friday morning, then some showers in the afternoon, near 40 Friday. The weekend, rainy and mild Saturday. It'll be in the 50s, then partly sunny and in the 40s on Sunday. In Boston now, 30 degrees, 26 in Worcester, 30 in Lowell, and 32 degrees in Plymouth at 8:35.
WBUR supporters include Lake Champlain Chocolates, handcrafting chocolate gifts to celebrate the season at local specialty food stores and at LakeChamplainChocolates.com. C3.AI. C3.AI's software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at C3.AI. And Capital One, committed to reimagining banking, offering savings and checking accounts that can be opened from anywhere. Capital One. What's in your wallet? Capital One N.A.
This is WBUR. I'm Bob Oakes. A new WBUR poll out this morning finds Pete Buttigieg and Joe Biden leading the crowded Democratic presidential primary race in New Hampshire. With a first-in-the-nation primary less than 9 weeks away in New Hampshire, Buttigieg is running slightly ahead of Biden, followed by Bernie Sanders and then Elizabeth Warren. WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks reports, the new poll suggests New Hampshire voters remain divided among the four frontrunners in a race that is unresolved.
This is the latest poll suggesting that Buttigieg has real momentum in Iowa and New Hampshire, homes to the first presidential caucuses and primary. According to the WBUR survey of 442 likely New Hampshire Democratic primary voters, 18% say the 37-year-old mayor of South Bend is their top choice. And Biden, after slipping in the polls following some shaky debate performances, is solidly in contention in the Granite State, just 1 point behind Buttigieg. But the WBUR poll suggests this race continues to be highly unsettled.
I think what's remarkable about this is how close it remains.
Steve Cazella is president of the Mass Inc. polling group, which conducted the WBUR poll.
I mean, we've got three candidates all within 3 points of each other, and Elizabeth Warren not even that far behind, right there in that top tier. Basically, a race that could go in any direction.
That's especially true in New Hampshire, where voters often deliver last-minute surprises. And in fact, the WBUR poll found that a plurality of likely voters, nearly one in five, said they still haven't made up their mind. But Biden and Buttigieg now appear to have an edge in the Granite State, with the former vice president doing particularly well among older voters and voters with a high school education. David Elderkin of Concord says he's leaning toward Biden because he believes he has the best chance of beating President Trump.
And the reason for that is we need somebody that's in the center. I'm a very moderate, pragmatic kind of person and realize you can't be in either extreme. He also has the experience.
At 77, Biden is 40 years older than Buttigieg, but both are political moderates who generally promote policies within the current system. It's a contrast to Sanders and Warren, who are pushing for a political revolution and big structural changes. Leslie Ring of Bow, New Hampshire, says she loves Warren, everything about her, except for one key issue.
I'm not sure she's electable.
Ring is worried that the Massachusetts senator might be too divisive, so she's backing Buttigieg.
I think he brings people together. I think he incorporates religion and policy and intellect. He is hopeful and he makes you feel hopeful, especially now. I think that's really important.
Buttigieg casts himself as the candidate best equipped to bring a divided country back together in a post-Trump America. In a recent interview with WBUR, he suggested Sanders and Warren are too far to the left.
We can do big things. A lot of what I'm proposing would be some of the biggest leaps forward, for example, on healthcare in a generation, without detonating the kind of divisiveness that we already see happening among a polarized American people.
Are you saying people like Warren and Sanders are detonating that divisiveness?
Well, we certainly see that risk in the approach to healthcare, this kind of my way or the highway idea.
The WBUR poll shows Buttigieg doing well across all age groups in predominantly white New Hampshire, even as he struggles to attract support from black voters in the South. His rise to the top of the field in the Granite State has come as Warren has slipped. Both are competing for highly educated voters, so it's not surprising they're now taking shots at each other. In Peterborough, New Hampshire this past Friday, Warren, who has foregone large campaign donations in an effort to build a grassroots campaign, chided Buttigieg to open up his closed-door fundraisers to public scrutiny.
He needs to make clear who's raising money for him, who the bundlers are, and he should open up the doors so that anyone, particularly the press, can come in and hear exactly what's being said to these folks.
Earlier this week, Buttigieg announced that he will open his private fundraisers to the press while pressuring Warren to release her tax returns from before 2008, when she did private legal work for some big corporations. According to a number of polls, Warren was leading in New Hampshire earlier this fall, but she faced pressure from Buttigieg, among others, to explain how she planned to pay for Medicare for All. Then came her $20 trillion plan, and now she's slipped to fourth place, the choice of 12% of likely Democratic primary voters, according to the new WBUR poll. Again, pollster Steve Cozzella.
It was sort of about the time that she rolled out the Medicare for All plan in some detail that her momentum seemed to fade a little bit.
But Cozzella says a number of other factors could explain this, including the fact that as a front runner, she drew fire from her competitors and more scrutiny from voters. As Warren has dipped in the polls, her fellow progressive Bernie Sanders has rebounded. The WBUR poll found Sanders is holding on to a loyal base, including voters like Rebecca Scherzneau of Phillipston, Mass., who attended a Sanders rally in Keene, New Hampshire.
He speaks to the people. He's great because if you look at what he was saying in his 80s and 90s, that hasn't changed. He's a real person, and I can believe in him. And you can't say that about a lot of politicians.
The WBUR poll found a dramatic age gap between Sanders supporters and those of Biden. Close to a third of voters, 18 to 29, prefer the Vermont senator, but he's the choice of only 6% of voters over 60. The age preferences flip with Biden. He has the support of nearly a third of voters over 60, but only 3% of younger voters. So it seems that younger voters are more open to a political revolution, while older ones want a return to the normalcy that Biden promises. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Anthony Brooks.
This poll has a margin of error of 4.7%. Review the poll results, including a look at the Republican field, by visiting our website, WBUR.org. And while you're there, sign up for WBUR's weekly politics newsletter.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Academy at Penguin Hall, the only all-girls college prep school north of Boston, where girls blaze trails. Accepting priority applications, penguinhall.org.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Bob Oakes here with Jay Clayton and Sam Fleming for just a couple of minutes before we go right back to Morning Edition here on WBUR. But first, pointing out what is probably obvious to you, that the Anthony Brooks story we just heard is a pretty good example of how we're going to cover the daily happenings and the trends on the campaign trail wherever they take us in the weeks and months ahead, especially the weeks ahead as we have just 9 weeks left to the New Hampshire presidential primary. But as we cover the issues that are driving the candidates and the voters, we're also going to cover how the candidates are doing and the shifts in the polls as we move toward the various caucus and primary election days. It's part of our dedication to you. It's part of what we've done over the years here at WBUR. It's our promise to you that we'll continue comprehensive coverage of the 2020 campaign when you help us out. This is the WBUR year-end fundraiser. It's rapidly coming to an end. It closes out on Friday. Between now and then, $500,000 is about what we have to raise. And we're asking you to do just your little part. If it's a $25 gift to WBUR, that's wonderful. If it's the average gift of $100, that's appreciated. If it's $1,000 or $2,000, that would be great. Do it now, though, at 1-800-909-9287 or give at WBUR.org, because it's 11:44 in the morning, and between now and 9 o'clock, we'd still like to raise $11,000.
It's really a complicated time in our nation's history, as we know. The impeachment proceedings, there'll be a special broadcast at 7 o'clock tonight of the House Judiciary Committee members debating the articles of impeachment that are before them. Another special broadcast at 9 a.m. tomorrow as that committee continues its work. We are not interrupting except when we know that we need to bring you the news that you count on. But we now need to count on you to do your part, just like thousands of your fellow listeners have. Whatever it is that you can do, $20 a month, $10 a month, $100 all at once, whatever it is that you can do for the news that you count on well into next year on WBUR.
We've got $10,000 now to raise in the last 15 minutes of this hour, so please do chip in what you can. When you give to organizations, and you may be giving to several at the end of the year, as many people do, you want to give where, first of all, you know your money is needed. Well, at WBUR, listener support adds up to about half of the funding that brings you everything you listen to. So we really do need your support and count on it here at WBUR. And you want to give where you know your money's going to make a difference. And when you think about it, of all the organizations you may contribute to, you probably don't spend as much time or have as much familiarity with any of them the way you do WBUR, because you're listening so regularly. So you're hearing how we spend listener dollars on the reports that you count on hearing from your own backyard and around the world. That's what we do with your money. It's why we need a little bit of money from you. And we've got a great WBUR superfan pack to send you as our thanks for your support this morning. This is pretty cool. It includes a WBUR tote bag, the latest one, the latest WBUR mug, and the latest Charles River Apparel WBUR rain jacket. And you can choose your size, men's or women's styles available, but the most popular sizes are the ones that we run out of the soonest. So before we run out of the size you want, just go to WBUR.org. You can pick up the super pack as our thanks for your contribution of $120 or $10 a month that will help us bring you the news. Go to WBUR.org to get in on that and support your station, or you can call us at 800-909-9287.
Can I take just a moment to talk about the new WBUR mug? It's really like a cowboy mug, because it's stainless steel coated by enamel, so it sounds like this.
Okay,
and,
that's
you
enough.
Know, it's incredibly durable. You can probably put it over an open flame and heat up your coffee and your tea in it. It's really a wonderful way. You get this in the pack for $120 and all the rest, the rain jacket and the tote bag. It's a really wonderful way to say thanks to WBUR for all the news we've given you as we give you back something. We give you this fan pack and we give you the news 24/7. Just a couple of days left in the fundraiser. Need to hear from you. Pledge $120 for the gift bag or pledge any amount right now at 1-800-909-9287. The mug actually says on it, coffee, WBUR, repeat. If that's you in the morning as you listen to Morning Edition on WBUR, then give right now.
And by the way, the rain jacket is dark gray, very nice, and it will keep you dry on a day like today. You can wear a little down underneath it. It's great.
So you get the WBUR Charles River Power rain jacket, the mug that Bob was just banging on the table, and the latest WBUR tote bag.
I did not dent it. It's durable.
That's right. And you get all three of these in our WBUR Superfan Pack. All is our thanks for your $120 contribution to help us bring you the news. And the thing is, we're going to run out of the most popular sizes of the Charles River Apparel WBUR rain jacket quickly. So before we run out of the size you'd like, get on the web, give at WBUR.org, or give us a call at 800-909-9287.
WBUR supporters include GEICO, protecting people and their vehicles for over 75 years. GEICO is proud to offer car insurance and more to Massachusetts drivers, too. Additional information at GEICO.com or 1-800-947-AUTO. That's 1-800-947-AUTO.
This is WBUR. I'm Bob Oakes. Now, Bostonomics Business, the Beth Israel Lahey Health Hospital Network, is expanding specialty surgery practices to smaller hospitals on the North Shore. Anna Jakes Hospital and Beverly Hospital are adopting the New England Baptist Hospital practice for conducting inpatient hip, knee, and spinal orthopedic surgery. Network President Kevin Tabb says this should make accessing care easier for people outside of Boston.
What we're doing is we're leveraging the knowledge that exists in one hospital for the betterment of patients and communities.
And Tab expects more clinical expansions down the road. Cambridge-based Moderna Therapeutics is expanding its Norwood operation and adding 100 new positions. The company tells the Boston Business Journal it also plans to transfer 250 employees from Cambridge into the new facility. This is WBUR. It's 8:49.
Funding for WBUR's business report comes from Vertex, a proud contributor of Massachusetts' innovation ecosystem. Fueled by the needs of patients, families, doctors, and nurses, Vertex invests in science to develop new medicines and strike at the core of serious diseases. Learn more at VRTX.com.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Noel King.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Applause filled the presidential palace in Mexico City yesterday. Representatives of Mexico, the U.S., and Canada signed an updated version of the North American Free Trade Agreement. Once it's ratified by all parties, this deal will govern billions of dollars worth of commerce. NPR's Carrie Kahn reports from Mexico City.
It seemed like the officials from all three North American countries let out a collective sigh of relief as they sat on a stage facing a packed audience of business leaders and politicians at Mexico's presidential palace.
Mission cumplida. Gracias.
Mission accomplished, declared Mexico's foreign minister, Marcelo Ebrard, to great applause. For Mexico, it was a mission that many thought couldn't be completed. 2 years ago, President Trump was threatening to rip up NAFTA, dubbing it the worst trade deal in history, a move that would have thrown Mexico's economy into turmoil. Trade between the two countries tops $1 billion a day, with 80% of Mexico's exports sent to the U.S. and millions of jobs dependent on that commerce. Robert Lighthizer, the United States trade representative, says all sides fought hard for a new deal.
The result, I think, is the best trade agreement in history.
He says it has the most up-to-date provisions regulating digital and e-commerce in the world, types of trade that didn't even exist when NAFTA was originally signed 25 years ago.
And it's something that's going to make North America richer, it's going to make America richer, it's going to make Canada richer, and it's going to make Mexico richer.
The pact also requires auto manufacturers to use more parts from North America and that a large percentage of vehicle production be done in a plant where the minimum wage is $16 an hour. The hope there is to stem U.S. and Canadian jobs from moving to lower-paid Mexican factories. A sticking point in the negotiations in recent months, though, was a move by U.S. Democrats to get tougher labor and environmental enforcement provisions. Mexico didn't want to let U.S. inspectors into their plants, but in the end, they signed on to allowing so-called inspection panels with representatives from all three countries. Economist Luis de la Calle, who helped negotiate the original NAFTA agreement 25 years ago, says Mexican negotiators could have done better, but were feeling under pressure to get a deal ahead of next year's U.S. presidential elections.
Sometimes in Mexico, we minimize the leverage we might get in the U.S., and that maybe it would be wise for Mexico to use it more often.
But he says the new deal puts an end to the uncertainty, driving away much-needed investment in Mexico. Mexico's President Andrés Manuel López Obrador praised negotiators from all three countries, and especially his counterpart, Donald Trump.
Hemos tenido con el presidente Trump una muy buena relación.
With President Trump, we have a really good relation, says López Obrador. Christopher Wilson, a Mexico expert at the Wilson Center in Washington, D.C., says such warm talk from across the border is an odd turn of events.
Somehow, despite the accusations and the tough rhetoric, both countries are finding a way to continue to work together and are even praising each other while they do it.
He says it's an interesting and a strange moment in U.S.-Mexico relations right now. Carrie Kahn, NPR News, Mexico City.
This is NPR News.
I'm Tiziana Deering. The holidays are here, and finding that perfect gift for everyone on your list is tough. No, it's not. Give WBUR. For your nephew, who fancies himself a comedian, he gets more Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Your sister, who loves actors, musicians, and authors, she'll get more Fresh Air with Terry Gross. And the grandkids? It is a gift they will rely on for the rest of their lives. Because you'll be supporting a legacy of independent journalism, so they can make sense of the world as they build their own futures. So this holiday season, give WBUR. Do your one-stop shopping with us. Make your tax-deductible donation right now. Here's how.
At the end of the year, pledge right now at 1-800-909-9287 or give at WBUR.org. But here's the thing. The fundraiser is rapidly coming to an end. We've decided to close it out on Friday. But more importantly, in the next 6 minutes, we're having a great hour, by the way, fundraising, thanks to folks just like you who listen to WBUR and who've stepped up this hour to make the pledge. But in 6 minutes, we need to raise $6,000. That means we're pretty close to the goal. Don't let us close this hour out without meeting the goal. Give the gift in any amount that supports the news and give it right now at WBUR.org or at 1-800-909-9287. When we're so close to the end of the fundraiser, we need to hit each of these goals.
We've now got $5,000 to go. Thank you if you've already done your part this drive or this year. If not, we hope you will right now. Join the people that are giving to WBUR because the foundation of this radio station and everything that you get from us is the support that listeners give. It amounts to half of the funding here at WBUR. We've got a very cool way to thank you this morning. We're calling it the WBUR Superfan Pack. It includes our latest tote bag, our latest mug, and the brand new WBUR Charles River Apparel rain jacket, which is not just a rain jacket. It's great layering for days like today. And we have it available in all the men's and women's sizes, but the most popular sizes are the ones that go the fastest. So get in on this before you miss your chance. You'll be supporting WBUR. It's our thanks for your contribution of $10 a month or $120 if you want to do it all at once. 800-909-9287 or WBUR.org to get the Superfan as our pack as our thanks for helping us bring you the news and giving us a little bit of the money that it takes to do that for you.
I have to say it's a great deal. I think that rain jacket's probably worth about the $120 in and of itself. Yeah, it's actually very good and keeps you dry under the worst of conditions. The most important thing, though, is for you to continue to invest in the radio station that you count on, this trusted form of journalism at this very, very precarious time in our nation's history. I think it's going so fast, it's so deep, that it's hard for any of us to kind of keep up with it. We are doing our very best. NPR is doing our very best. Hundreds of journalists working on behalf of you, thinking about the issues, thinking about the questions that need to be asked, thinking about the 2020 election that's coming up next year. There's going to be so much to watch and to listen for over the next 9 or 10 months as we head into 2020. And it's so important for us to have the resources to bring you the kind of journalism that we know that you can trust, that we know that you're going to turn to. Please do your part right now.
At 1-800-909-9287 or WBUR.org, the other way you can pledge. And speaking of doing your part, here's what we need to raise in the next 3 minutes. We have 3 minutes to raise about $3,500 for the news. And if we hit that, it means we met this hour's goal. And again, as we've said, why these hourly goals? Well, when we're so close to the end of the fundraiser, we sort of have to parse it out hour to hour in order to help you understand how much we need your individual pledge, the pledge that only you can make that will support the news. And we're asking you for that right now. The $100, $100 is the average gift. Can you do that now for the news? How about $25 or $50? Or how about $1,000 or $2,000 to help us meet this goal, to help us raise the $500,000 we need to raise between now and the end of the fundraiser on Friday? Again, the number, it's all for the news at 1-800-909-9287 or give at WBUR.org.
800-909-9287, again, or WBUR.org. 858, we've got $2,900 to raise by 9 o'clock, keeping the fundraiser on track, really making sure that we keep the fundraising as quick as possible and give you as much news as we can. We know that's why we're all here. You know it's why you're here, but we hope you'll help to pay for it, because without that listener support in place, we can't bring you WBUR the way that we do. So give a call, give what you can. If you want to pick up the Superfan Pack with the latest tote bag, mug, and rain jacket from Charles River Apparel before the size of the rain jacket you want is gone, get in on that as your way of helping out with a $120 contribution or $10 a month that will help us bring you the news here on WBUR. And you can get those goodies in the Superfan Pack as our thanks for your support this morning.
And we talk about news, but it's way beyond that. It's about conversations. It's about hearing about issues both around the news and around the conversations, questions that get posed on Here and Now or On Point or later this afternoon on All Things Considered. It's one of the reasons that you listen to WBUR, because you know you're going to learn stuff. You're going to learn interesting issues. You're going to not be told what to think, but you're going to be given facts and ideas and context so you can consider those yourself. This is a station that we need your support to keep the resources growing here at WBUR.
$1,000 left in about 30 seconds. We finish this hour. We go to the BBC next year on WBUR in about 30 seconds. We're now just hundreds of dollars away from hitting this hour's goal. How about making your gift of a pledge right now? 50 or 100 or 200, whatever is right for you. Help us meet this hour's goal when the end of the fundraiser is in sight, just a couple of days away on Friday. The number to call at the last minute this hour is 1-800-909-9287 or give right now at WBUR.org. And thanks. You're listening to 90.9 WBUR FM Boston,
92.7 WBUA Tisbury,
89.1 WBUH Brewster,
streaming at WBUR.org,
and live at City Space, Boston's new home for public conversation.
WBUR, Boston's NPR news station.